You are about to listen to Mr. Bashar Jafari's informal comments to the media on the situation in Syria. Mr. Bashar Jafari is the permanent representative of the Syrian Arab Republic to the United Nations. These comments were made before the press on the 10th of February 2016 at the UN headquarters in New York.
Good afternoon, everybody. Well, the Russian ambassador didn't leave too much for me to say. However, allow me to add the following clarifications. As you know, some member states of the Security Council have had a kind of focus and obsession with regard addressing the issue of Syria. But they don't want to address it politically. They want to address it selectively through the so-called humanitarian aspect, which is for them the best channel to politicize the whole discussions on Syria within the framework of the Security Council. Having said that, I would like to tell you that what I mean by this is that politicizing the humanitarian situation, whether in Syria or elsewhere, is a kind of cover-up for these specific member states' involvement and complicity in sponsoring, training, protecting, and arming the terrorist groups operating all over of the Syrian territory, whether in the north of Aleppo, or in the south, next to the Jordanian border. The Syrian government is fighting the terrorists, the same kind of terrorists, sponsored by the same guys, the Saudis, the Turks, the Qataris, the French, and others. So there is nothing new with this regard. It has been a kind of circle, a vicious circle, that we are trying to address every time the Security Council is dealing with this humanitarian issue. They don't address the humanitarian issue in Yemen. They don't address it in Palestine. They don't address it in Iraq. They have a full-fledged obsession about addressing the so-called humanitarian situation in Syria. While doing so, they don't tell you that up to 75% of the humanitarian needs in Syria are covered by the Syrian government. They don't tell you that the Syrian government, through the Syrian Red Crescent Association and OCHA, is covering even the needs of the so-called hard-to-reach areas. I'm using the expression, the favored expression used by OCHA. Of course, they wouldn't tell you that. They wouldn't tell you that because that would be a credit for the Syrian government, and they don't have any intention to put anything in the credit of the Syrian government. So the focus on what's going on in Aleppo right now, by misusing the humanitarian dimension of the issue, is nothing but a cover-up of their political failure, because the Syrian army has liberated huge swathes of territories which were controlled previously by the same terrorist that some people claim fighting through the Security Council non-fulfilled resolutions on combating terrorism. Here I'm referring to, of course, to 2253 and other resolutions, famous resolutions, none of them which are not implemented, as you know, efficiently by the same member states who have called repeatedly for dealing with the humanitarian issue in Syria. So it's this kind of sessions has only one target, one objective: defaming the Syrian government, defaming the Syrian government's allies such as Russia, criticizing all the advances, the successful advances of the Syrian military army and the Syrian army in the field. Of course, this is definitely a kind of concern for them, because we are defeating those who are helped by the same guys who are claiming dealing with the humanitarian situation in Syria, or they have some kind of concerns, illegitimate concerns with regard the humanitarian situation in Syria. Who created this humanitarian situation in Syria? Themselves. Themselves. They speak about thousands of Syrians leaving Aleppo, of course, because the terrorists have been using the civilians as humanitarian shields in Aleppo. So it is not the government which is purchasing these innocent civilians outside of their villages. It is the terrorists who are using them as humanitarian shields. And then definitely the Turkish government is closing, as you know, the border, because it's an excellent tool of pressure, an excellent tool of propaganda that can be used by the Turkish regime with this regard. The Turkish regime and the handlers of the Turkish regime in the Security Council. So it is really unfortunate to find ourselves once again, victims as Syrians of a kind of political manipulation and a kind of political speculations within the Security Council itself by some member states. I'm in your hands. Yes, please. Uyghur, Chinese.
Yeah.
Chinese, yes, the Uyghur.
And you also mentioned that during the, week-long visit to Mecca, Saudi Arabia...
Yes. 4 years. Four decades, yes. They offered them free tickets and free journey within the territory, Saudi territories, for almost 1 month.
You mentioned that they were being trained
by... Yes. No, they were trained to follow the Wahhabism, which means the radical Islamism theory implemented and applied by the Saudi regime. Daesh, meaning the ISIL, the same school of thoughts of ISIL. Wahhabism is ISIL,
and
radicalism.
They return and actively destabilize areas in China.
Not only in China. Now, they brought them in Syria. We have 3,500 families from the Uyghurs, Chinese, in the countryside of Aleppo. They came with their wives, their grandmother, grandchildren. They think that they are coming to live in the shadow of the so-called Islamic Khalifa, Khilafah. They are manipulating these naive people by misleading them and telling them that they are coming for jihad and for living in the shadow of the Islamic Khilafah. They did the same in Iraq. They did the same elsewhere. It is the same school of thought. It is the Wahhabism in its worse version. Yes, they are not misusing the Uyghur only. They are misusing everybody. We have people from Uzbekistan, from Kyrgyzstan, from Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan. I mean, they are collecting this garbage from all these countries and sending them to Syria and Iraq. And of course, they are doing the same phenomenon in Africa through Boko Haram. The focal point of this international terrorism, called, wrongly speaking, jihadism, is Libya.
And Mr. Ambassador,
yes.
The Russian foreign minister has said he's going to put forward new proposals for a ceasefire tomorrow in Munich. Is this something that your government supports? And you've been leading the negotiations in Geneva. The opposition said today that they would not participate as long as the bombing and humanitarian access is blocked. Could we get your reaction? Thank you.
We are not aware of any details related to this so-called initiative. But definitely, if there is anything concrete that will come out of these discussions, the Syrian government will be aware of that through our friends and allies. But you know what? We have had a huge arsenal to go ahead with the political settlement, the political solution. We went to Geneva based on the resolution 2254, 2253, 2170, 2178, 2199, 2191, and you name it. So we have this huge arsenal as a basis for discussion. But you know what? The point is that we went to Geneva as a disciplined delegation, governmental delegation, and we didn't find in front of us anybody serious, any other delegation, any other seriousness. Even the Mistura himself didn't know how, whether this group of Riyadh would come or not. They came 3 days late, as you know. They didn't go to the Palais des Nations. The Mistura went to them at the hotel. So they didn't engage seriously in anything related to the indirect political discussions through the special envoy. This is number one. Number two, there has been a very bad preparations for these indirect talks. From the beginning, we didn't know how many delegations would come, how many oppositions would come, in plural. The Mistura himself didn't know. People waited in Geneva for a week, and he wasn't aware of their presence, although they had visas, and they were considered oppositions. He selected some people without prior consultation with the Syrian government or the other parties. So there were too many huge gaps into the structure itself of the meeting, of the indirect discussions in Geneva. And then, of course, the absence of any commitment, political commitment on the other side, on the side of the group of Riyadh. Since the first day they arrived, they jumped out of the plane and they started saying, by Thursday, if the Syrian government doesn't do that, this and this and this and that, we would withdraw by Thursday. And they did it, because they got the orders from their handlers in Riyadh. The Saudi Minister for Foreign Affairs told them on Wednesday, one day before they withdrew, you can withdraw. And then they got the same message from Davut Oğlu, the Turkish Prime Minister. So they got instructions from their handlers in Riyadh and Ankara, and they withdrew from discussions that did not start, actually, to be honest with you. We were just discussing, as Syrian government delegation and the special envoy, the procedures and the form. We haven't touched the substance, because we were alone discussing with the Mistura. The other side didn't show up.
اتهم السفيران البريطاني والفرنسي قبل قليل أنكم أنتم عطلتم مفاوضات جنيف وأن سيد دمستورة نقل ذلك إلى مجلس الأمن الدولي وأنهم يضعان شرطين أساسيين لاستئناف المفاوضات وهي وقف العمليات العسكرية حول حلب وإدخال المساعدات الإنسانية واتهم الحكومة السورية بأنها هي من تعرض مدينة حلب الأثرية للخطر في تراثها الإنساني.
هذا الاتهام خاطئ ومضلل وكاذب. هذان السفيران ينتميان لدولتين ترعيان الإرهاب في سوريا. واحد. اثنين. الحكومة السورية ذهبت إلى جنيف. الوفد الحكومي كان حاضرا منذ اللحظة الأولى. وأسر لك أننا وصلنا إلى المطار ومن المطار انتقلنا مباشرة إلى قصر المؤتمرات في جنيف. والتقينا بدمستورة مباشرة، في حين أن الطرف الآخر أو الأطراف الأخرى التي تسمى بالمعارضات لم تذهب إلى قصر المؤتمرات في جنيف، ولم يتم تشكيل الوفود أساسا، ولم نكن نعرف لا نحن ولا دمستورة نفسه كم وفد سيكون في الطرف الآخر. فكان في ثغرات كبيرة هيكلية في بنيان التحضير للمحادثات غير المباشرة في جنيف. والسبب الرئيسي لأكون معك واضحا هو أن هذين السفيرين أو هاتين الدولتين التي تحدثت عن سفيريهما رحلا مشكلة الفشل السعودي في الرياض والفشل الأردني في عمان بإعداد قائمتين لمن هو معارض ومن هو إرهابي. تم ترحيل هذين الملفين الحساسين للغاية إلى جنيف، فقوض هذان فشل هذان الملفان قوض اجتماع أو محادثات جنيف. بمعنى آخر أن الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية وبريطانيا والسعودية وتركيا وقطر تتحمل مسؤولية فشل اجتماع جنيف، لأن البداية كانت خطأ، لأن هذه الدول لم تحترم الإجراءات التي تم التوافق عليها بموجب القرار 2254. واحد. اثنين، في ظل استمرار هذه الدول بدعم الإرهاب والحديث الآن عن إعداد جيوش وفيالق وجحافل السعودية وغيرها وتركية وأردنية في الجنوب وفي الشمال، هذا الكلام لا يستقيم، وأي رغبة سياسية بإيجاد حل سياسي للوضع في سوريا ولا بإنجاح محادثات جنيف. هذه الدول لا تسعى أساسا إلى حل سياسي، ولذلك أصدرت التعليمات إلى مجموعة الرياض منذ أن وصلت إلى جنيف بعدم الانخراط في الحديث في المحادثات السياسية غير المباشرة، بعدم الذهاب إلى مقر دمستورة. مجموعة الرياض لم تذهب إلى مقر دمستورة، هو ذهب إليها في الفندق. بالمناسبة يعني المبعوث الخاص أخبرنا في نيويورك ما زعمه السفيران من أن دمستورة قال في مجلس الأمن أن الحكومة السورية هي مسؤولة، هذا كذب وتضليل، دمستورة لم يقل ذلك. دمستورة أخبرنا في جنيف في آخر لقاء لي معه، آخر لقاء، وبعد ذلك تحدث إلى الإعلام وأكد هذا الكلام، أخبرنا بأنه علم منذ الصباح أن مجموعة الرياض ستنسحب في المساء. هو علم منذ الصباح أن مجموعة الرياض ستنسحب في المساء، ولذلك هو آثر أن ينقذ ما أسماه بكرامة الأمم المتحدة وكرامته الشخصية بإعلانه تعليق المحادثات غير المباشرة. بمعنى آخر أنه تستر على مسؤولية هذا الوفد غير المسؤول الذي يسمي نفسه بوفد الرياض من حيث إفشاله لمحادثات جنيف، تستر على قرار الانسحاب بقراره هو تجميد أو تعليق المحادثات، فهو نفسه يعرف من هو المسؤول عن إفشال محادثات جنيف. المعونات الإنسانية، لا يوجد سوريون محاصرون من قبل الحكومة، سوريا كلها محاصرة، سوريا كلها محاصرة، 23 مليون سوري محاصر، 910 كيلومتر في الشمال مع تركيا يدخل منها الإرهابيون وكل أشكال الإرهاب العالمي بدعم مباشر من حكومة أردوغان، وأسلحة تدخل بشكل مباشر. وكنت أتحدث قبل قليل عن الأويغور وغير الأويغور والأوزبكيين والتركستانيين وإلى آخره. سوريا كلها تحت الحصار من قبل نفس الدول التي تدعي في مجلس الأمن أنها تريد أن تعالج مسألة ما يسمى بالحصار. هذا المصطلح هم الذين استنبطوه، يجب أن ننتبه إلى المصطلحات. من يحاصر مثلا بضايا والزبداني ودارية وجوبر؟ الإرهابيون يحاصرون هذه المناطق من الداخل، ليس الحكومة التي تحاصر هذه المناطق من الخارج. الإرهابيون يحاصرون هذه المناطق من الداخل، والجيش السوري يحاول أن يفك الحصار عن هذه المناطق لأنه يوجد مدنيون أبرياء في الداخل. أما في كفرية والفوعة والنبل والزهراء فالإرهابيون يحاصرون هذه البلدات من الخارج. يعني إذا كان هناك شيء اسمه حصار فهو مفروض من قبل الجماعات الإرهابية على المدنيين. هذا ما يقوم به، هذا ما يحاول الجيش السوري أن يفعله، أن يفك هذا الحصار الإرهابي المفروض حول البلدات والمدن التي يحاصرها الإرهابيون سواء من الخارج أو من الداخل. لكن بطبيعة الحال هذه الصورة لن ينقلها لك السفيرة الأمريكية ولا السفير البريطاني ولا السفير الفرنسي، لأنهم هم بالأساس لا يريدون تسوية سياسية في سوريا في ظل المعطيات الانتصار العسكري الذي يحرزه الجيش السوري على الأرض بالتعاون مع حلفائنا الروس والإيرانيين.
Do you believe now the military option is viable and do you see it feasible now?
We have always said that there are two tracks. The political track is separate from the other track based on combating terrorism. Combating terrorism has been legitimized by the Security Council Resolution 2254. So there is no contradiction between these two tracks. The Syrian government is deeply engaged into the political track. Not only the Syrian government and our allies and our friends and the so-called international community. Everybody tells you the same, but they don't follow their words by real deeds. So the political track goes on, whether in Geneva or elsewhere, and the other track based on combating terrorism will continue unconditionally. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You have just listened to the informal comments to the media by the permanent representative of the Syrian Arab Republic to the United Nations. For further information, you can visit the page dedicated to the war in Syria at Equipo Niscor's website. This program has been produced on February 12, 2016, at Radio Niscor's studios in Belgium.